Welcome to Music and the Message from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Gilberts, Illinois. We pray this blend of musical praise and the spoken word will enlighten your day and bring you closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
The following readings and sermon are from the 10:30 service on Sunday, July 2nd, 2017.
The Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the prophet Jeremiah, the 28th chapter. Then the prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah, the prophet, in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearing and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. This is the word of the Lord." Our epistle for this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, the 7th chapter. "Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? Thus, a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve not the old written code, but in the new life, the Spirit. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin is dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Did that mean which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. This is the gospel of our Lord.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you've got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life. If you've got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking savior if you got chains. He's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and from our Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Reaching a high or the highest degree, further from the center or a given point. Intense, far beyond the norm. Exactly what am I talking about? These are all definitions of the word extreme. Extreme has become a very popular word in our society. It's frequently used by commentators to describe some politician's political viewpoint. Some sports are called extreme as well, for their demanding levels of physical exertion, for their high speed and element of risk. Even products are advertised today as being extreme. And I mean anything from soft drinks to tacos to duct tape. That's right, I'm not kidding. Okay, when I was a kid, Evel Knievel was extreme. Gotta put you to the test. Who remembers Evel Knievel? I don't see any of the youngsters' hands going up. You know, back in those days, Evel's events were pretty extreme. They were astounding. We recall his daredevil motorcycle jumps over cars and buses, over lions' cages and shark tanks. Pretty extreme stuff, right? Well, not by today's standards. When you look at the world of extreme sports today, what our friend Evel did in the 1960s and 70s looks pretty tame by comparison. And it seems like just about everyone wants to take it to this extreme these days. And what about you? Have you ever taken it to the extreme? Now, I'm not talking about your political viewpoint, okay? And I'm not talking about jumping off cliffs or bodyboarding or ice climbing. Those are pretty risky things to do, to be sure. But what I'm talking about today requires a lifetime of risk. And what I'm talking about is really extreme. I'm talking about your stepping out in faith. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you show your faith outside these church doors, where the world awaits you in your Christianity with less than a loving embrace? What does it mean to live out your faith? Is it the feeling of peace that you get here from being in church on Sunday morning? Is it the joy of knowing that Jesus Christ has paid for all your sins? Is it the contentment that comes from being certain of your eternal life because of Him? What can be more comforting than this? Well, absolutely nothing on earth, my friends. But Christianity is not about our being comfortable, is it? If it was, Jesus wouldn't have said this. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. That's exactly what Jesus says. And my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he's talking to you. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? True Christians being willing to deny themselves. True Christians being willing to put Jesus Christ first in all things. True Christians being willing to put someone else's needs before their own. My friends, true Christians pick up their crosses and true Christians go. And those who would follow Jesus walk in Jesus' footsteps. That's being his disciple. There's a cost to discipleship, and that cost demands an extreme faith because nothing else will do. Nothing else will do because Jesus is demanding. What Jesus tells us about being his follower certainly doesn't sound like a warm and fuzzy type of Christianity, a comfortable and non-threatening type, a type which is preached by many churches today. And my dear friends, regardless of what other preachers and teachers may say, it's not. Check it out for yourself. God has given you this for that very purpose. Look inside, and you'll find that that type of Christianity is nowhere to be found in the pages of the Bible. What does Jesus talk about in the Bible? Jesus talks about Christians being at war, in a nonstop spiritual conflict that invades the world. It invades our lives and even our own homes. And this type of Christianity has nothing to do with being comfortable in your faith. The faith of which Jesus speaks comes by a cross and with a cross. True faith is about you putting Jesus first in absolutely everything in your life. This faith is all about getting extreme. So, living your life for Jesus Christ is not something you reserve for a Sunday morning. It's not something you can leave behind in the pew when you leave the church. It's not even about what you can do for Jesus when you have some spare time on your hands. The commitment to which Jesus calls you is a lifetime commitment. Following him must inform your entire life. It must shape who you are and how you conduct yourself in all that you do and say. And I will say, that's extreme. So if I may ask, does that sound too extreme to you? Well, that's what true Christianity is. You have to give it all you've got. It's not casual. It's not easy. It's not a hobby. The life of a Christian can be very exerting. It has its risks and it comes at a price. The price is a cross. For you, Jesus picked up his cross and he paid the price. And if you truly want to follow Jesus, you must pick up yours. And you can expect to pay a price in pain and personal sacrifice. To expect a comfortable or worry-free life because you're a Christian? Well, that's not the faith that Jesus expects of those who would truly follow him. With all its demands, with all its expectations, with its guarantees of suffering and of pain, you might well ask, is it worth it? Do I want to be a part of something that claims to be more important than anything else in my life? Than my parents and my children and grandchildren, and even more important than myself? Do you want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ? Then you have to ask yourself those questions. And then you have to ask yourself, is it worth it? Some people say no. To them, the price is far too steep. They want their time, their possessions, and their personal pleasures. They're not about to deny themselves of anything. They're not going to let their faith in Jesus get in the way of their relationships with their families. It's far more comfortable to compromise that faith in Jesus than to risk offending those family members and friends who don't want to see it or hear it from you. And so, for the sake of human comfort and keeping the peace, Some people just stay silent, very silent. People conclude what Jesus demands is just too extreme. It's simply not worth it. This is my life. I'll decide what's best for me. I'll do with my life as I please. I'll do it my way. After all, Jesus understands, right? Well, yes, my friends, Jesus does understand. And that's what should really concern you. So is it worth it to you? You know, perhaps it's better to ask, what are you worth to him? Jesus took the guilt of your sins upon himself. He endured the punishment that you deserve. Jesus died the death of your sins so that you can enjoy a blessed life with all the comforts of the kingdom of heaven. A life in the presence of Jesus Christ forever and ever. In his letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul would explain, Jesus died for all, so that they who live shall no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What Jesus demands of you may seem great indeed, but what he gave for you and gives to you is far and forever greater. He has counted you worth the price, and that's the evidence. That's the reason you're here. The only reason that you can even contemplate these demands. To you, Jesus has opened the door. And now you can consider the cost of discipleship and ask yourself if it's worth it. And by the grace of Almighty God, you know it's worth it. Because you know that what you do doesn't make you a Christian. Nor does it make you worthy of God's salvation. Only the shed blood of the crucified Jesus can remove your unworthiness. Only the resurrection power of the risen Jesus gives you eternal life. He gave his life for you. And he gives you the power to live for him. And knowing that should comfort you, and it should motivate you. Because again, my friends, what we're talking about here is extreme. Jesus doesn't call you to a part-time faith. Jesus doesn't want a half-hearted commitment. Jesus wants you every day and all the time. He wants you and everything you've got. So you've got to forget all about comfort. Following him is a full-time, full-throttle occupation. And everything else comes second to your life in Christ. And I mean everything without exception. Well, suffice to say, this is not easy listening Christianity. This is not doing what comes just natural Christianity. Because there's nothing warm and fuzzy about the picture Jesus paints of the faith. This faith described by Jesus himself to you is nothing less than extreme. And I know, when you take a serious look at the life to which Jesus calls you, you have to wonder how you can live up to his high standards. My friends, you can't. Well, not by yourself. But you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength to do them. And if that leads you to cry out and repent of your sin and throw yourself at Jesus' feet, that's good. In fact, that's great. Because when you put yourself in his hands, when you rely completely upon his mercy and grace, it is then that you know you're a true follower of Jesus Christ our Lord. And then, you can do what he's called you to do. So in his name and by his power, go out from here and do it. Live your life. Live your life in Christ. And live it to the extreme. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Storm and
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Music and the Message, brought to you from St. Peter Lutheran Church, located in Gilberts, Illinois. Worship services are held on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m., and on Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. For more information, please visit our website at www.stpeterlutheran.org. Thanks for listening, and God's blessings on your week.